Well, greetings, great hope from the Eternal Church of God. Let's go over to Ecclesiastes 1. But first I want to quote James Barry, who writes this. The life of every person is like a diary in which we intend to write one story, but write another. Then our humblest hour is when we come to compare the volume that our lives have written with what we plan to make it, there's always a difference between our goal and what we attain. And I think that Barry makes what could be a somewhat frightening point here, and that is that most people in life don't fulfill their dreams. And I would ask this question, is it possible that we're dreaming about the wrong things? We may not attain the kingdom because of that. So, for example, two men were walking along together, and one of them asked the other what his plans for the future were. And his friend responded, well, my intention is I want to go to college and I want to graduate and then hopefully get a good job. And his friend asked, well, then what? He answered, well, I'll settle down. I'll probably get married to somebody and maybe have some children and so on. And then his friend asked him, then what? Well, I plan to buy my own house. I'll have my kids. And then his friend again answered, well, then what? Well, I'll probably retire and live my life out, and eventually I'll die like everybody else. And his friend then asked, then what? That's a pretty good point, I think. So the guy thought for a while, and he said, well, I really haven't thought that far through. I haven't really thought that far through. My point today is that I want us to think that one all the way through. It's my desire that we think that far ahead. And I say this because everything in life, from my perspective, falls into two categories, basically. No matter what our situation, no matter what our profession, no matter what our status is in life, everything is either temporary or it's permanent. And so I want you to think about this today. It's true no matter where you look, no matter what you feel, no matter what you see, ultimately everything that is temporary is going to ultimately pass away. It could be joy. It could be pain. We may have a moment of triumph in our lives. We might have a time where we sigh the sigh of deep despair. We experience both. But neither lasts. It's only temporary. And that's because life is just temporary. Our occupation is temporary. Our family is temporary. Our lives are themselves are temporary. The entire universe is temporary. And I'm asking us to think about this and the consequences of it. You know, all that the universe contains, which is farther than mankind can see, is only temporary and it's going to eventually disappear. And what to me is ironic is that we already know this, but our dream continues on, and that dream is often a temporary dream, a desire, a hope for the future. And so let's look at Ecclesiastes 1. The great Solomon wrote this, 1 through 11. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit has a man from his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. This he didn't get. We'll come back to that later. The sun also rises and the sun goes down. And it hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north, and the wind whirls about continually. And it comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, that's where they return again. All things, he says, are full of labor. Man can't express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And that which has been is what will be. And that which is done is what will be done again. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It's already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. And I think he says something quite profound in all of this. Sometimes in this life we're up, sometimes in this life we're down, but God intended to have a goal for us that never changes. So Solomon lived in the height of Israel's greatness. He was a tremendous king, and he had wisdom beyond anyone else had ever had, or probably will ever have as a human being. And so in the end, though, he primarily just pursued physical pleasures. So with all this wisdom, he was depressed because what was the point? It's all going to change. It's all going to just come back again, and they're going to redo it and redo it and redo it. And don't you see this as countries go to war over and over and over and over? We haven't learned after all these centuries have gone by. We just keep doing the same thing. So when it comes to this, there is a truism I want us to consider. Earl Nightingale was famous for as a writer and speaker and so on, and he's really well known for this quote, and it's really profound. He said this, "We become what we think about." And that is so true. And you know what? All of us are thinking all the time. You know, our mind is going on all the time, and we talk to ourselves in those thoughts. What should I do? How should I handle this? Should I invest here? Should I not? All of us do this as we carry on a mental monologue. But the conversation has a powerful impact in our lives. We're thinking all the time that we're awake, and we often wonder what others think of us. What is it we really want in life? What do we want to do? What choices do we want? But for most of us, each day is filled with the things that we have to do that day. You know, there's shopping, projects at work, there's weeding in the backyard. Excuse me. There's shopping, projects at work, weeding. There's things that need repair. Our lives are filled with such things. Every day, it's the same thing. We complain to ourselves about our weight or our appearance. We think about what we want to do this weekend. We wonder what we'll do with the problem that we're facing. And this is this dialogue that keeps going on. We're asking ourselves these questions. What should I do next? And how should I do it? How should I approach it? We wonder about attaining short-term goals. Right now, what do you really want to attain? What are you looking for right now? Is it finishing our latest hobby or our project? And I know all these things are necessary. My issue is this. Are we too tied to our to-do list? Has that become the thing that rules us the most in infinitesimally small little issues that we go through in our everyday lives? So, are we tied to desires and obligations and we forget God's grand and great purpose that is over all things? The truth is this. All the physical things that we do are only temporary. In many cases, focusing on them alone can produce a problem. You know what that problem is? We forget the great calling. We forget what's really important. It can mess with and mitigate our true goal in life. It can become lost in the process of taking care of everyday responsibilities. So consider what I believe Solomon did not understand. Though he was wise, he wasn't necessarily filled with God's Spirit. So I don't think he knew everything. But it is the same thing you and I think, sometimes misunderstand, and it's this. Everything that happens to us in life is a test. It's all a test. Do you remember this immortal truth? Where all humanity has been tested. I mean, all humanity who's ever going to live has been tested. Then the end comes. The end will come, and all that is physical will finally be done away. Even the earth, it's no longer going to remain. Eventually, it's going to be burned up, and it's going to be replaced by a different kind of earth, and there's going to be an entirely different universe. I mean, if you can put what our everyday duties and responsibilities are in the context of what's really going on here, is what I'm after. A new earth, a new Jerusalem, and a new people to inhabit it. All of this will then be finally permanent. But right now, it's all temporary. And so in that context, I think life is ironic. What we spend most of our time doing and thinking about is temporary. But if we understand, it's all for a reason. And so how we do those things that seem insignificant in one sense, how we do those things counts a lot. And that's what I want us to think about today. All those temporary things, why do we do them? And how do we do them? I think all of that's important. But if we practice these temporary things as Christ would, striving to do them as Christ would do them, then we pass life's test. And by this, our future too becomes permanent. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, if you will, 2 Corinthians 4. Life here on earth is for our practice. That's the whole purpose of it. Everything we do each day is practice. Practice for what one day will be glorious and permanent. Therefore, we need to look at our daily life in that light, I think, whether building, working, or playing. Our interaction with others, all of that, practice for living in God's kingdom. Whatever trials we may experience, we must realize they too are only temporary, but they serve an enormous purpose, and that is that we might consider either good or bad, you know, whatever things we consider good or bad, it's all a test to us. Similar when we went to school, do you remember those days when we were younger? We'd saunter into class, the teacher would announce, we're going to have a quiz. And we'd go, oh, we'd all groan, and yet he'd give us a quiz. But we never realized those quizzes were tests to prepare us for the final at the end, and for our grade, and our status, and our future. And we never think about it, we just go, oh, test, you know. But I remember those days pretty well. But again, my point is that everything that happens to you and that happens to me on a daily basis is a practice test. And so I ask us to try to remember this truth as we live out our lives. No matter what we want, no matter what we do, no matter what we face, you know, it's all just a test. Now, one website that's unnamed says this. Most of us like to live by the moment. We experience life as it is and go along with the flow. But there will come a time when everything will come to a standstill. We'll realize how we have been living in our own timeline of repetitive events where nothing seems to amaze or astound us anymore. When this happens, we need to take a step back and think about what we really want from life. Because, temporary as it is, everything counts. Everything counts. Every situation in life is practice for what we're going to ultimately become. And for this reason, don't let setbacks stop us. Don't let sufferings or anything like that take control over us. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. even though our outward man may seem to be perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporary, or which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are everlasting or eternal. So I ask us to think about our calling in this context that we're talking about right now. There are different kinds of jobs out there, temporary and permanent. So I want to put this in this perspective, if you'll let me do that. Put it in perspective. Getting a lower level temporary job is one. And then getting a permanent job is another. So there's these two possibilities. But my point is, look, those people that get a temporary job that's not permanent, what happens if they really work it hard? What happens if they really serve their boss? What happens if they really produce on the job? Well, they're going to get hired on full time, aren't they? Because that's like practice for the future, and that's what's going on in lives now of Christian people. We're just here temporarily. But if we work hard, if we take it seriously, and if we're seeking God's kingdom, we have a very high likelihood of attaining it. It counts. Everything counts, even though it's all temporary, as the great king said. So what I think is important is this, the value in things in life that lead to permanence. A story about Michelangelo expresses this, I think. He once came into the studio of Raphael, and one of his students, and stared at one of his early drawings, and he took a piece of chalk and wrote across the drawing, Amplius, which means greater or larger. Raphael's plan was too cramped and too narrow. God looks down on our plan of life today, and knowing what is in man, writes over again, Amplius, greater, larger. That is, think bigger, is what he's saying here. That we should think more about the big picture and what God has planned here and what part we play in that plan. So think that way is what I'm after. Only God's kingdom and that future counts in this life. For example, today a lot of people think that working faster and harder, that's really important. Or is it? Is maybe making something of a finer quality and taking more time to do a better job? Which one is better? It's our decision to make. But we're showing God something in whatever choices we do, whatever choices we make. So I want to get this point across. The temporary world is created in the image of the real one. The future world is not going to be static. It's going to be like this one, because this is a practice model, or a model to practice in. Let's go to Hebrews 1. The real one is going to have people in it, and there's going to be creative endeavors, that is, in the kingdom. The new world is going to have work. It's going to have new creations. They'll be made of permanent substance, though, and it's going to have permanent consequences. It's going to be made of spirit. Now, our world is physical, and it's temporary, and we understand that. But we see that man is made in God's image. And so the question I would have is, if man is made in God's image, how do we treat others who are made in God's image? Something to think about, really is, especially when you see our society today and see how wrong they're acting that way. In other cases, we see that angels look like lions. They look like eagles. They look like horses. So how do we treat our animals? Do you understand? God is looking at this. He's created this practice test, this world we live in, and it is shaped in a way that reflects the world that he's going to have that's going to be permanent. And so how we treat humans, how we treat animals, how we treat those who are over us, how we treat those who work for us, all of these things, those who we're married to, how we treat them, because we're going to be married in the kingdom. But you understand my point? All of this is practice for that which is permanent. So, anyway, God is watching what our relationship with all of these things is like. And ultimately in the kingdom, we'll create things and we'll build things like God does, but they'll be permanent. So we should, I say, take this long view of life, and that is that it's now temporary, but we have an eternal counterpart. Eternal counterpart. Hebrews 1 and verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You'll fold them up, and they will be changed, but you're the same, and all your years will not fail. Why won't it fail? Because, as it says in Isaiah, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. It's permanent. What he says will last forever. So there is a rule, I think, for making decisions in life, and this is the criteria that I'm talking about today. Will our works lead to what is a permanent end, or is it going to end up to be a temporary one? Consider, there are permanent and temporary magnets, aren't there? A permanent magnet has all of its atoms are all going in the same line, same direction. An electromagnet is when you have to put electricity around it, and it has to have the electricity, and then it becomes a magnet, and it'll pick up things. But if you turn the power off, it drops them. So you understand my point? All of us, in our minds, we should all be going in one direction. And that direction is the kingdom of God. That should be our goal, because it's permanent. And everything goes in the right direction. That is the direction of God. So I think it's a point well taken. Philippians 4. Dorothy Haskins tells a story about a famous violinist. She asked the woman she had an interview with her how she became such a master musician. And the woman, who was the great violinist, answered with two words. She said it was planned neglect. Plan neglect, she said. Then she explained what she meant by that. She said there were many things that had demanded my time. She said after breakfast, when I made the bed and straightened up the room, I dusted and I did whatever else that seemed necessary. And only then could I turn to what was my life's work, and that was practicing the violin. Then one day I decided I'm going to reverse my habit. I'm going to reverse this thing. So I deliberately planned to neglect all until my practice was done. She put her practice first, and then she got better and better and better. So I began a program of neglect of what was less important, and that became the secret to my success. Can you see that applying to our lives, cutting out which is less important? But can you also see that we need to put first things first? That is, prayer and study is so important for us in building our relationship with God, to do that first in the day, every day, and make our plans and think about the kingdom so that our actions then are going to follow us the rest of the day. Putting first things first. Plan neglect. It's kind of interesting. So we should be doing that every day, and then seeking God's way has to be first in our daily lives. And then we'll take that relationship into the rest of the day, practice living His way, meditating on how to live. And we begin to think then thoughts that are going to be permanent regarding God and His way. And so Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, he says this, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report. Is there any virtue? If there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so during the time that we have, we focus on practicing overcoming what is just simply fleshly pulls, passions, desires, and things like that, that could be offensive or could somehow interfere with our plan or our hope or our dream that we carry within us of a kingdom and being a part of that kingdom. So we strive to live the way that Christ would live. And there's certain one test about the quality of our desire. We all have a desire. It's all on different levels, and it all has different meaning to all of us. But I say this, there's one important test. As Christ said in Matthew 7, therefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. So we've got to take a look at our life. Are we bearing fruits that are spiritual, that are like Christ, that are going to lead to the kingdom of God, or just get us through this week, get the rent paid? You know, how are we looking at it? The quality of our faith is measured every day by the choices we make every day. Repentance is incomplete unless legitimate action is taken. Let me say that again. Repentance is incomplete unless legitimate action is taken, whether inside our heart or outside of it in our actions we take. You know, it must be based on that which is permanent in life. You know, we're never going to be perfect in this life. We're not going to be that way. We can't do that. It's beyond our capability. But we can, through making right decisions, having right thoughts, and taking right actions, we can eventually become permanent by God's miraculous will and power. And that's what we want to do. So Proverbs 3. We know we're not going to be perfect in this life, as I said, but that doesn't mean we should ever let down. In fact, it should tell us that we need to increase our effort, I think, be more dedicated to this quest God has bestowed upon us. Never stop seeking that which is ultimately permanent. And so in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, he says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This has to be an active, intrinsic part of our lives. It means that we resist those temptations of the flesh. They're going to come. Of course they're going to come, because we're human and we're flesh. And so it's going to pull on us. But resist those things. And don't exaggerate our problems or difficulties. There isn't anything we haven't experienced that others haven't experienced, and Christ experienced way far more than any of us have ever experienced in terms of difficulties and problems. But don't minimize God's power is also important. He has the power to keep His promises, and that's the only thing that we can depend on in this life. It is the power of His promises. And an unnamed quote, again, aptly states this, if you pour everything you have into this life, this world, which is temporary and fading, you're jeopardizing your relationship with God, the only thing that is eternal. Never place something that is temporary over the priority of something of permanence. Keep this intention firmly locked onto our main desire. And that main desire is this: a permanent place in the kingdom of God.